Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Freedom Business Podcast von Monika Birkner. Dies ist der Podcast für Solo-Unternehmer, die mehr Freiheit wollen. Mehr Freiheit im Business, vom Business und durch das Business. Und Sie erfahren in diesem Podcast, wie das gelingt. Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Hier spricht wieder Monika Birkner von monikabirknerfreedombusiness.de. Dieser Podcast, den Sie jetzt hören, ist ein ganz besonderer Podcast und zwar aus verschiedenen Gründen. Zum Ersten, er betrifft ein Thema, das mir ungeheuer wichtig erscheint und mir sehr am Herzen liegt, nämlich wie man sein Business verkaufsfähig machen kann und ganz speziell, wie man es mit Hilfe von Online-Kursen verkaufsfähig machen kann. Die zweite Besonderheit ist, diese Podcast-Episode ist in Englisch, denn ich interviewe eine amerikanische Kollegin, die ihr Business im letzten Jahr verkauft hat und wo Online-Kurse ein ganz wichtiger Faktor dabei waren. Die dritte Besonderheit ist, diese Episode ist sozusagen Teil eines Podcast-Duos. Denn ergänzend zu diesem englischen Interview, das ich im Original gelassen habe, weil ich den Flow nicht unterbrechen wollte, habe ich eine deutsche Episode produziert, die ich ganz alleine mache, wo ich ohne Catherine bin, wo ich aber die wichtigsten Ergebnisse aus unserem Interview zusammenfasse. Sie können diese Einzelepisode unter iTunes finden. Das ist dann die Episode Nummer 15. Und Sie finden sie auch ebenso wie das Originalinterview, was Sie eben hier hören können, auf der Seite monikabirknerfreedombusiness.de/online-kurse-business-verkauf. Dort finden Sie auch ausführliche Shownotes und außerdem eine Checkliste, anhand derer Sie feststellen können, wie es um die Verkaufsfähigkeit Ihres eigenen Business bestellt ist. Also, Sie haben jetzt die Wahl. Das Thema ist spannend genug. Es ist spannend für diejenigen, die schon bisher über Verkaufsfähigkeit nachdenken. Es ist spannend für diejenigen, die Online-Kurse produzieren und es bisher vielleicht tun unter dem Aspekt passives Einkommen oder Ausweitung der Reichweite. Und es ist vor allen Dingen auch spannend für diejenigen, die an beides bisher noch wenig Gedanken verschwendet haben und die dadurch auf ganz neue Perspektiven kommen können. Also wenn Sie jetzt weiterhören, dann beginnt gleich das Interview im Original in Englisch. Und wenn Sie die deutsche Version hören wollen, wo ich die Ergebnisse zusammenfasse, dann ist das auf der Seite monikabirknerfreedombusiness.de/online-kurse-business-verkauf. Und dort finden Sie also beide Interviews und dort finden Sie die Shownotes ziemlich ausführlich und dort finden Sie auch die Checkliste, um die Verkaufsfähigkeit Ihres eigenen Business zu überprüfen. Ich wünsche gute Inspiration und freue mich auf Ihr Feedback. Das war Monika Birkner. Yes, hello and welcome. This is Monika Birkner speaking from Freedom Business, Monika Birkner Freedom Business. And I'm very pleased having a guest with me, Catherine Dove. And she is a guest. She is very near to my heart. And I'm very happy and very pleased that she is with us today and will share some of her experiences. And the topic we are going to cover will be how online courses and membership sites can contribute to the selling of your business. And Catherine has some experience with that and she will share that with us. And before we start, Catherine, I would like you to introduce yourself, what you had done in the past and what you are doing now. And I've been knowing you since a while. We are in several Facebook groups together. I'm a member of your Inner Circle program and your academy. But perhaps it's easier when you introduce yourself and tell us what you had been doing in the past and what you are doing now.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me. I was flattered when you asked me to be on the podcast with you. So thank you.
Oh, yes, you're welcome. I'm very happy about it.
Oh, so gosh, to tell you a little bit about myself, I've always really been about working hard, but over the years I've gotten a lot better at working smart. And so I don't have to work so hard anymore. And so I've been really blessed in terms of building a business that we sold that you know of. We sold it last year and we had it for about 20 years. And our whole business model was all about building recurring revenue or recurring income streams through a variety of different online products. But it took us a while to get there. I had an expertise in the financial services industry. I was a corporate contract trainer, so I traveled all around the country sharing my expertise. I saw more hotel rooms than I care to remember, more airports. Uh-huh. And then my husband and I, we had our children. I was a little older, 34 and 36. So we were doing very well financially. So we waited to have our kids until that point. But then we realized it wasn't just about the money. It was about wanting more time. Mm-hmm. And so in my business, in the financial services niche where I was, you know, running around the country doing a lot of training, that was all live training, live speaking. And we wanted to transition it so that we could offer that expertise online so that I could be home with our kids. And so that was where we kind of, you know, shifted our business from the offline traditional world to the online space. And so that niche that I was in, we were in that niche for over 20 years. And we sold that business in September of 2016. And we knew we were going to be selling for probably about a year to 2 years prior to that. So I started building my new business, Digital Business Boutique, where I'm trying to teach other entrepreneurs and consultants and coaches how to take what they've been doing offline for years and how to transfer that into the online space. And I'm doing that by teaching people how to create online courses, membership sites, any kind of information or digital products.
And you have really a lot of experience. You talked about 20 years, and I know you had, I think, about 100 or so courses in your former business, in your previous business, and you have already produced a lot of new courses in your current business, the Digital Business Boutique. And how did you produce 100 or more courses in your previous business? That's an enormous amount of energy and effort that has flown into it, I think. How did you manage it?
Yeah, it was a lot of hard work. And when you create your first, you know, 5 or 10 and you're not being smart about it and you know you've got to create a lot more, pretty soon you start putting what I call SOPs or standard operating procedures in place, and you start creating systems and shortcuts so that you can produce courses even quicker. So, you know, anytime we do something in volume, it gets easier.
Yeah.
Compared to if we just have to do one or two. So to be honest with you, it, you know, the first few were hard, but it got easier the more I created. My challenge in the particular niche that I was in is that my courses, I couldn't just create a course and start selling it. My courses had to be approved through regulatory bodies. Mm-hmm. And they had to meet, you know, certain regulations in the financial services niche. So once I got done with the course, I actually had to submit it to a regulatory body to be approved as well. So that made it a little more difficult. So I had to be really, really organized and on top of the whole procedure.
Yes, and that pays off. When I see your courses today, they are so systematic and so well structured and so full of really valuable information. So it's obvious that you have got a lot of experience and a lot of not only hard work, but also very intelligent work and very systematic work. And I appreciate very much what you are offering today.
Yeah, thank you. My customer was a lot of the, you know, when you create online courses, you have the B2B market or the business to business market and then the business to consumer. Mm-hmm. And my courses were going to both. I had a lot of corporate contracts with a lot of large insurance companies, like, you know, John Hancock or Transamerica. So they expected very corporate looking courses. So I really couldn't get away with some of what we see in the online space today.
Yes, and that's also very interesting because oftentimes people think you cannot sell courses to B2B customers and to the corporate world. And it's interesting that you had both types of customers, corporate and private customers.
Yeah, if you can, depending on what the listeners, you know, what the niche they're in, if you can get a corporate customer or, you know, a company that has users or, you know, potential students under them, it's a really great opportunity, because with one of our corporate clients, we literally, we made all of our courses available to all of their, you know, these were insurance agents. And so we just negotiated an annual check or an annual fee. So we would bill them $150,000 every year. And then all of their students, they could just take unlimited courses. So if you can, you know, think outside the box instead of just selling to individuals, it can be very lucrative.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about the objective to create recurring revenue, and that certainly was possible with that. Did you at that time already think of selling your business, or did that idea pop up at a later period of your business?
So when we started our business, which would have been over 20 years ago, it's hard to remember back that far, but I know that at least within the first 5 years of our business, we knew that everything we did was for the sole purpose of selling it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so everything that we did, we just tried to, like I mentioned before, we tried to create standard operating procedures and systems, and we made sure that we branded all of our products and everything that we came out with in a name that somebody else could easily take over. And by that, I mean, where I'm going with this is for those listeners that are maybe an individual entrepreneur. I know a lot of people like to use their name for their domain name.
Yeah.
But you just have to consider, if you are wanting to sell, that would be harder to sell. If all your courses and your training videos and all of your worksheets have your name on it, that's not as attractive for somebody to buy. So like if I had CatherineRDove.com as opposed to Digital Business Boutique, I could easily sell Digital Business Boutique to somebody else and they could take over that brand.
Yes, that's a very interesting aspect. And I'm really surprised that you thought about these things so early on, because at that time, certainly it was not yet so widespread and there was not yet so much information about that as it is today. Then that last year, when you actually sold your business, how did that take place? Did you actively look out for a buyer, or did somebody approach you and told you that you wanted to buy your business, or how did it work out?
So it's an interesting story, because we had somebody approach us out of the blue probably 4 years ago. It was a university or a technical college out of the Los Angeles area. So my online course business, my online courses were approved for continuing education credits, which we hadn't mentioned yet, and for in the financial services niche. So we had an organization in Los Angeles contact us who, they were trying to set up an online school, and they were doing continuing education courses for example, chiropractors or accountants or social workers. And so they thought, well, let's add the insurance industry to our mix. So anyways, they just approached us out of the blue, and we worked with them for about 4 or 5 months, going back and forth on sharing all the financials, going through everything with the fine tooth comb, doing the negotiating. And it was a very painful process. And we learned a lot about what buyers are looking for and how we had to be very organized on with our books and our systems, et cetera. We ended up backing out of that deal at the last minute, because I just had a bad, bad gut feeling about it. And without getting into the details, it ended up being the right decision when we learned more about this organization afterwards.
Oh, great. So, congrats.
Yeah, so we had that under our belt and we knew what buyers were looking for. So it gave us an opportunity to kind of fix some things, which I'll share in a little bit, and just get really organized. And one of the things that we learned is that buyers want to know what your earnings are. They want to know what's left at the end of the day after you pay all of your expenses. How profitable is your business? Mm-hmm. And so we, like probably a lot of other small business owners, we would fudge a little bit. If we go out to dinner, oh, that's a business expense. Or if we go on a vacation, we'd talk a little bit about business. Oh, that's a business expense. So we could run those things through our business, because of course, at the end of the day, when you file your taxes, then you don't have, you know, you haven't made as much money, so you pay less taxes. Mm-hmm. Well, that can kind of backfire on you when you're going to sell, because the potential buyers will want to usually look at the last 3 years of your tax returns. right? So if your tax returns show a low income, but you're saying, oh, no, we really are very profitable, they're saying, well, not according to your tax returns.
Okay.
Right? So we learned that lesson. So that's the lesson I would share with everybody. So we got really smart and we made sure to only run things through the business that were actual business expenses. So to answer your question then, so we knew we needed, in order to, we understood then how the, like when someone goes to buy your business, they'll look at a multiple of your earnings. So they take your income stream, you know, minus all your expenses. And then depending on what industry you're in, it'll be, you know, one time your earning or five times your earnings, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so once we learned that formula, then we got smart and we said, okay, we have to really, 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 really reduce our expenses and be as lean and mean as possible so that when we go to sell, well, we can ask a higher price for our business. Mm-hmm. So, and this is leading to your question on how do we find our buyers? So we had a very large payroll, which I would panic over. I mean, at the highest point, I think it was about $36,000 a month for our payroll. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we needed to reduce that. So we hired what's called a TPA, a third-party administrator, mm-hmm. to run our business. So they handled all the phone calls, all the customer support. They processed all of our certificates of completion. They updated all of our courses. They ran our website. They basically did everything for us, so we no longer needed all of our W-2 employees and all of our contractors, et cetera. So that significantly reduced our expenses. So what happened then is this third-party administrator, they were experienced in the online course business and in continuing, you know, running a continuing education company because they did it themselves in other niches. And they got to see firsthand the inside of our business because they were running it and they saw how profitable we were. And so they are actually the ones that made the offer to buy us.
Oh, that's interesting what you're telling. And so important, I think, also this issue with the expensive. I had recently talked to somebody here and he told the same thing, how important it is to cut down your expenses and not to mix some perhaps not so clear business expenses with real business expenses and to cut them down and so that you can really show a profit. And your strategy was very smart, I think, to do that. And that it then led to the offer of this third party administrator. That's really a kind of, I would not say miracle, but very surprising. I think you had not expected that, certainly.
You can definitely call it a miracle. It was like a match made in heaven because I told you about the first potential buyer and how excruciatingly painful that was when they were reviewing all the finances and why is this an expense and why do you need to do it this way? Because they didn't really understand our niche or our industry, mm-hmm. but the third party administrator understood it because they worked in that space. So, and they knew they'd been running the business for three years before they offered to buy us. So there were no skeletons in the closet. You know, whenever you go to buy a business, people always wonder, well, why are you selling? Is it not profitable, et cetera? Yeah. Well, they firsthand, they saw the revenue coming in.
Yeah.
So that would, I guess, just be a tip for your listeners as they're building your business, like who else in your niche, like who could be a potential purchaser of your business? Mm-hmm. Who's doing something similar or what are you doing? How is what you're offering could complement what somebody else is out there selling that's a little bigger than you? And even if it's your competitor,
mm-hmm. yes,
by you.
Yes, that's very valuable advice. And also it seems to pay off in the long run when you have already established a relationship with your future buyer. And that can also be the case when you are dealing with a competitor or with another potential buyer in your niche. So it's very, very, very interesting. And then I remember last year when I received your newsletter where you announced that you were selling your business and you made a remark in your newsletter that you were pleasantly surprised about the offer and made a remark that it had something to do with your online courses. So this buyer then very profoundly knew your business and how profitable it was, etc. And how did your courses influence the price for the business, or did it not influence? Perhaps I misunderstood it. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. No, you understood it correctly. So in the beginning, our business was more, I don't want to say it was a brick and mortar, but it did require my time. I had to go out and teach courses or speak at, you know, live events. So it required my time and my expertise. But when I was able to package everything into the online courses, that's what became valuable, because if somebody were to buy our company, they can't buy me. But my courses are assets. My corsets are something, I know it's online, but it's still something that's tangible. And so that's what made this, you know, organization want to buy the company, because of the online courses. So that was the primary asset that they were buying, if you will, is the online courses. And then the repeat customers. Our courses, we had a lot of them, so there was more than one course that people can take, but a lot of the courses they had to take every 2 years due to some certification requirements in this niche. So there was a lot of recurring business where people would come back and take the courses again, provided that we did a good job staying in front of them with, you know, by nurturing them with valuable content, similar to what, you know, everybody else does in the online marketing space.
Yes, and that's also something that is really important to be aware of, that buyers buy the business for future business and for the chances or for the opportunity or perhaps a kind of probability or even security of future business. And in your situation, especially with this large amount of online courses and membership sites and these repeat customers due to your special situation, I think that must have been very, very interesting for your buyer. And I think it's a very important lesson also for everybody else to think about how you can create assets and how you can create repeat customers. And perhaps membership sites are in this context still more important, because there the repeat customer is kind of built in, at least for a certain period. And that's a big mindset shift, I think, for all those who are actually trading time for money.
Well, exactly. So like in my case, some of the courses, they just took the same course over every 2 years. But then we also had other courses that we knew based on their needs that would be valuable to them. So anybody that's thinking of creating online courses, don't think of just creating one. Think of creating like a portfolio of courses so that you can increase what they call the lifetime value of each student. So they take, you know, course A first, and then the next logical course is to take course B and then course C. So if you have, you know, a number of courses in your portfolio, that would make you more valuable to a potential purchaser of your business.
Yes, and it also may serve your customer better than just one course. And so there are a couple of reasons why you should think about this option. And that's a very strategic and important decision, because another possible business model is to have just one big flagship course and do it again and again without this option of having a portfolio of courses.
Exactly. So just to make sure, in case I didn't explain it better before, so to figure out like what you can sell your business for, like I mentioned, it's the multiple of your earnings. So you take, you know, the income stream coming in minus all of your expenses, and then whatever you make that year, generally a buyer will pay, you know, 1 to 5 times that amount. And what I found is in the online space, you can get, you know, 3 to 5 times, or sometimes like with a brick and mortar business or not as many repeat customers, it might be 1 time your earnings or 2 times.
That's a significant difference. That's really awesome. Great.
So yeah, again, expenses. Try to, somebody, a very important mentor to me once told me, sometimes if you want to make more money, you just reduce your expenses. And it was amazing when we were trying to set ourselves up to sell, going through and looking at all of our expenses. My husband, I'm like, why are we paying $299 a month to this company? He's like, well, we have been for years. Oh, I know, but why? Well, I'm not sure. Are we even using that anymore? And it was amazing how we were able to increase our income just by looking at all of our expenses and reducing them.
And many, especially creative entrepreneurs, do not like so much to go into the details of their expenses, but it seems it's very, very important, especially in this situation when you one time want to sell your business.
It is. And definitely for any of the entrepreneurs or the creatives or anybody out there, you know, I'm sure you are already, but if not, you really need a separate bank account. You really want separate statements. You want a separate QuickBooks account or Xero or whatever you're using for your finances. Because if you want to sell, you're going to need to be able to pull P&L reports and, you know, have people go in and look at, okay, this is all the income from this business. This is all the expenses. Because if you're commingling personal expenses, it's just a big fat mess.
Yes. And I think we can connect to what you said earlier, that it is good to have a separate name for your business. So that's also a big mindset shift for everybody who is trading time and money. Because if I understand you correctly, then your business needs to be a totally separate entity, separate with a separate name, separate with a separate bank account and separate money, financial statement, etc. And so no more mixing up private and business things, but really have it as a separate entity, and so that you can walk out, give it to your buyer and walk away, and it can run without you.
Exactly. Very, very important to do that.
Great.
And a trademark too, if I may.
Yeah.
I would recommend getting a trademark for your business name.
Uh-huh.
We had done that with our company. It's really easy to do. We used the trademarkcompany.com and they trademarked our names, because anybody that's going to buy your business wants to know that that's been secured. It seems to make it more valuable to know that somebody else can't, you know, start up a business using a similar name.
Oh, that's the great advice tool. Great. I'm so impressed what you are sharing here, and it's so valuable for our listeners. Perhaps let's switch to what you are doing today, because it's also very interesting. And as I said earlier, I'm a member in your inner circle, and I'm benefiting a lot from your courses and from your Facebook group and from all what you are sharing there. And I know you as a person who is so competent and knows such a lot of things and such a lot of tools and is sharing all the time. And let's talk a bit what you are doing today, your digital business boutique. I like that name. I really love that name. It's very, very elegant. Nice name. And
thank you. So I knew that I'm 49. I'll be 50 next year. So even though we were able to sell our business, I know at that point, prior to then, I considered myself kind of a workaholic, and I knew that I didn't want to retire and not work at all, but I also knew that I couldn't keep the same pace that I was keeping. And as my husband and I had joked about, well, now I can just take a lot of time off and go to the spa and go traveling and this and that. Or I used to say that to him, and my husband would joke and he'd say, yeah, right, that'll last for about a week. He knows that my mind just kind of needs to stay busy. So prior to us selling the company, as I mentioned, we had a TPA that was pretty much running everything. So I found myself with, you know, time on my hands. So when I started the digital business boutique, it was all about, okay, I've been really blessed and I've been able to build a business based on my expertise and package it and sell it online. And now I get to be home with my kids every day. I get to go to all the lacrosse tournaments and my son's archery tournaments. And I call myself like a pretend stay-at-home mom, because everybody thinks in my neighborhood that I don't work because I'm home all the time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I knew I needed to still, you know, stay busy, and I had been so blessed. So the digital business boutique was all about me taking what I learned by monetizing my expertise online and sharing it with other professionals so that they could do the same thing. So in the online space, well, there's a lot of people out there that are selling courses or products, and it's things they have never really done themselves. They just see it as a get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity. And I thought, well, I've actually done it. I've actually created online courses and membership sites. So I feel competent that I could teach other people how to do that. So that's what I do at the Digital Business Boutique, is I'm teaching people how to create online courses, membership sites, signature programs, because that's, you know, what I did for years. And then also not only creating those information products, but knowing how to market them in the online space. So I have the Digital Business Boutique, and then, like you mentioned, the Inner Circle. It's my Course Creators Inner Circle, which is a membership program where we do group coaching, and we have a mastermind, and we do workshops. And then I'm in the process of completing my Course Creators Academy, which is a step-by-step program that walks people that are new to technology or new to online courses. It walks them through how to create and sell their online course. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm trying really hard to not work full time. I'm doing it just part time so that I can enjoy my kiddos while they're home for the next 5 years. And then see, by then I'll be about 55. So I'll see where it takes me. But right now it's generating a really nice revenue stream. It's keeping my mind still, you know, occupied and setting me up for the next stage in my life, where when my kids leave the house in 5 years, my husband and I want to have, you know, continue to have location freedom so we can travel and live wherever we want with this business that I'm creating right now.
Great. And you are providing tons of value. And I can really recommend everything what you are offering, every course, every workshop, everything, because it is so valuable. And you always see that you have that much of experience as nobody else in the space that I know of, and that you have that much of experience, and you are so generous in sharing it, and you are also so systematic and structured. And I appreciate that, especially that it is also systematic and structured, and nothing is left to good luck or so, but you can learn so much, or everybody can learn so much who's willing to create courses when he is following your steps that you're providing. And so I can really highly recommend everything that you are doing. And perhaps now you could give us the URL where people can find more, and in your Facebook group, as far as I see it, it's a Facebook group which is also open for non-members. It's the mix for...
Yes. So I have a Facebook group, or a community, if you will, where I try to jump in there every day and help people answer questions that they have, because part of what I'm learning in the online space is that we never get to really meet people in person, or they don't show up at live speaking events, etc. So in the online space, the way that we build credibility is by helping people for free, you know, without any expectation of anything in return. So that's kind of how I've built my following, is in my Facebook group, by helping people. And then when my Inner Circle is open for enrollment, or my soon-to-be Course Creators Academy, then I can make that offer in my group. And then those that have gotten value from what I've been helping them with are more likely to join. But to find the Facebook group or any information on any of my programs, if you just go to digitalbusinessboutique.com, that'll take you to where you need to go, depending upon what you're interested in doing.
Yes, and it's all in one word, and I'll give the link in the show notes and also to your Facebook group. And I cannot thank you enough, Catherine, for this interview, because it is so full of value, and you talked about how it works in general, why it is necessary and useful to think about selling your business and to think about it at an early stage already, and prepare your business in many ways, to have a separate name for your business, to create standard operating procedures, to be cautious with your expenses so that you have high profit to show.
I forgot one more really important thing. Can I share it?
Oh, yes, of course.
I can't believe I forgot this. One of the big factors of selling our business was our email list. Uh-huh. So we had built this up over the years through more traditional means of list building, but our list was 34,000 people. Mm-hmm. And we nurtured it by always sending out valuable training and content and education. So one of the things they looked at was the size of our email list, and then the amount of people that would open our email list and click on things in our email list, because that was the audience of potential buyers for the courses. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing anybody should consider if you're going to be selling your business, is how valuable that email list is. And I can't believe I forgot to share that.
Thank you for sharing it now, because it really gives an additional perspective on building your list. And I have not been so eager in building my list. I had a bit neglected it all those years. And now that you are saying this, I get new motivation to make more efforts to build my list. And I hope our listeners will too. And it makes sense because then the buyer gets a realistic impression if there are potential customers for the courses. So when the opening and click rates are high and former buyers have come from the list, then there is a good chance that future buyers will also come and buy the courses. So that's very, very valuable piece of information. And what was really exciting was when you shared that with your courses and membership sites, the multiple for the earnings was so much higher than in a normal business, in an offline business, brick and mortar business or so. So that gives so much more perspective and so many more reasons to really focus on building these assets than just trading time for money. And you cannot start early enough, I think, because it needs time to build your list. It needs time to create all these assets, etc. So the earlier you start, the better, I think. And therefore, I'm so happy that you shared all these information with us and from your own experience and not just theory, but as in your courses, all from your own experience. And I'm really, really happy and grateful for that. And I think our listeners will benefit a lot from this.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad. I mean, it's really an amazing business opportunity when you can package your expertise online and you can be selling it by next week. You don't have to find a manufacturer. You can do everything by yourself.
Yes. And from your home, as you said, from your home.
Exactly. From your home.
Or from any other place in the world.
Yes.
Do not need to go out of your house. And so many people think of courses in terms of passive income or see just that aspect of it. And you have so much opened the horizon for new perspectives. And yes, I cannot thank you enough for that, Catherine. And I'm so happy that we could arrange this talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, and I will then in the show notes give the links. It's for your actual business. It's digitalbusinessboutique, all in one word, .com.
That's right.
Catherine.
Thank you so much, Monica. I appreciate it.
Yes, me too. Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Das war der Freedom Business Podcast von Monika Birkner. Danke, dass Sie dabei waren. Ein Überblick über alle Episoden sowie ausführliche Shownotes finden Sie auf der Seite https://monikabirknerfreedombusiness.de/podcast. Wenn Sie den Podcast unterstützen wollen, dann freue ich mich über eine Bewertung bei iTunes und auch sonst über jegliches Feedback, das Sie mir zukommen lassen. Bis zum nächsten Mal, Monika Birkner.